G'day, buddy. I'm Stephen Cram.
Skazius.
Welcome to episode 181 of the Randers Podcast, Christmas Special 2021.
Yay, we made it to Christmas.
We have. Yeah. Yes. Only a few days away now, Skaz.
Yay.
Yay. So, you got a meat hamper company coming.
Yeah, but I might not live long enough to enjoy it.
You'll make it.
Can't be sure.
Have you exploded your Christmas tree yet?
No, and I still don't know what kind it is, nor do I know what it feels like, because I'm not going to go out there and hug a tree.
You don't have to hug it, just shake its hand.
Nope.
Apparently Prince Charles does that when he plants a tree, he shakes his hand and says, like, you know, good luck.
Nope. Just opens up all kinds of weird doors, that does.
I'm not one of these tree furry people.
That's it. Next, you'll be asking me to stroke my ham.
What is the furry equivalent of someone into trees? Is it a barky?
That's just weird.
Can you imagine the convention? It's just a room of people dressed up as trees not moving.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great, especially seeing as last episode we said those things catch fire and explode.
I think a tree costume would catch fire pretty well as well.
Well, they'd catch fire, but they wouldn't explode, but they'd definitely start moving around really quickly and screaming. I've never seen a tree do that before, so it might be worth trying. Christmas is getting better and better the more this goes on.
The Barker's Convention becomes the Triffid Convention.
Oh, mate, serial fucking... serial pyro convention.
I'm just going to envision now just this massive, like, conference centre. And it's just that people, and some people got really shit costumes. They literally like sort of like shrink wrapped a couple of leaves to themselves. And then there's people who've gone like full out where it's like you just can't, you think it's a real tree. They've really just gone, they've spent like 10,000 their bark sewn a tree. And they've really gone for it. And they're like, oh yes, I identify as a pine tree.
See, I'd take an actual tree. I'd go around the local park, cut down a tree. Put it there and you know that hello, my name is badges. I just write my name on it and then walk away.
Yeah, that bloody oak over there is so miserable. Doesn't say a word.
Just like a real. I'm excellent at cosplaying a tree, mate.
Yes.
Master of it.
Yeah, right. Yes, right. And this room over here, the saplings are not allowed in this room over here. This is the only the older trees are allowed in here. Oh, dear. Oh, well.
Insanity's contagious. Yeah. No Christmas drinking at this point either, so.
You're not Christmas drinking? You're not started yet?
No, drinky.
I've all had all my stuff delivered now. All my alcohol, my aspals, my broadside, my tally-ho. That's all here.
It's all here.
Waiting for Christmas Eve when consumption will begin.
Christmas Eve, you start a little early. Well, it's got Christmas in the name, mate.
I quite like Christmas Eve because I finish work at 4 o'clock, get home, and then I'm like, well, I don't have to be anywhere now for like 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to sit down. We usually put Hogfather on. That's sort of our Christmas Eve tradition. We watch Hogfather. And we sit down, open the beer up, I drink quite a bit of beer. We usually have McDonald's for tea because we don't want to go too mad because, you know, we're going to be like eating half a farm the next day. So, you know, you can't go too mad. Drinky poos. Parents can go out to midnight mass. I may go with them if I'm not falling asleep in the corner somewhere.
Heathen.
And then if happens, go to bed and song off and then wake up the next day and see what Santa's brought. So there we go.
That's a crate Christmas of lager.
No, I think Santa's going to bring me some codexes. Because this is the thing, as you get older, it gets harder to ask grist because, like, basically, if you want something, you just buy it. Generally. Yeah. So when it gets to Christmas time, it's like, well, what do you want? I don't really know because I just buy it anyway if I want something. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard buying presents for older people and us buying getting presents. I mean, I don't want a lot. You know, spend a tenner on me, I'm happy. You know, I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm very much a case of I believe. I don't expect people to spend a lot on me. I don't spend a lot on most other people. I mean, family I spend about £30 to £40 on average. But I don't expect to have that much spent back on me. So I think this, you know, it's I know people say, well, you see, if you say the thought that counts. Well, I'm not all into this buying just stuff for the sake of buying stuff.
Sure.
So, but yeah, it's, it means it's just changed books and stuff. Last year I got a book on AI, that was very good. So there we go.
I don't do Christmas.
No. So do you have like any sort of Christmas routine, or is it just like another day for you?
For me, it's another day. Just wake up when the kids wake up. They open presents. I'll open whatever's there for me. I might have got the wife something. And then the rest of the day is just like a normal day.
Mm.
I don't do anything. It's the same for me on my birthday. I don't do anything different than the normal day.
No, I'm similar for birthdays. Don't do anything fancy on a birthday. Generally, we might go meal out like the week before or after. We might go for a meal out somewhere, but not on the actual day. Nothing special. We might have, sometimes there'll be a bit of cake involved, but not like a big. We don't make a big thing of it.
Sure,
birthdays. I just got a vision, you know, like, right, kids, you're out of presents. Daddy's now got to go do some streaming. See you later.
No, I fucking wish. I wish.
Well, I mean, do your kids still get so excited, so for still?
Oh, yeah, because they're spoiled little bastards. There's no two ways about it. And this year's even worse. You know, they are quite possibly two of the most spoiled kids on the planet.
Mm.
I should probably stop in the grand scheme of things because, it's expensive.
Stop spoiling your children.
Yeah. Well, it depends what you consider spoiling.
I mean, do you spend thousands of pounds on them? Yes, is the answer to that one then.
Just don't ask what they got this year.
What have they got this year?
I said, don't ask.
Well, have they got the assist, guys?
Game and laptop each.
What sort of, now? Game. There's. Are we talking decent gaming laptops, or are we talking sort of like entry level gaming laptops?
They're better than your PC.
Bloody hell, Skaz.
Yeah.
No wonder you've got no money all the time. You spend it all on your kids' Christmas presents.
Yeah.
Why has Daddy worked all those overtime hours? Why has Daddy worked all the hours under the sun this year? It's so you can have that Asus Republic of Gamers laptop.
No, they are rocking Lenovo Legion 5s.
I didn't realize Lenovo, that company made gaming laptops. I thought they were just business machines.
All of the main brands now do gaming machines.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So like Asus have one, HP have one, Acer has one, Lenovo has one. Those other companies have one. Oh no, yeah. Dell's Alienware isn't, so they have one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all have one.
Yeah. There we go. There we go.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm skint.
Yeah. But they'll be well. I presume they've both got Steam libraries. I'm assuming at this point.
Oh, mate, yeah, God, yeah. They were asked, would you rather have next gen games consoles or new computers? And they both said, without any hesitation, they wanted a new computer.
And you died a little bit inside because you knew the consoles would be cheaper.
No, actually, I was happy. I was very, very happy that they said they wanted PCs because they can have more stuff on PC and do more stuff on PC than they can with a console.
Very true.
You know, they're both dicking around in Unity and Blender now. They both have audio editing software. They both have video editing software. Probably middle of next year, I'll buy them a little NAS each so they can store all their fluff. They play a lot of games on PC. A lot of games on PC. You know, they've both played, you know, Half-Life and Portal 2. that Marvel Avengers game I mentioned in the last podcast. They've played that. Minecraft, World of Warcraft, all sorts of stuff. They play on PC. And if you were to buy them a game on PC and, say, Switch or PlayStation, 3 out of 5, they'll go back and play it on PC.
Hmm.
So the thing was, like, you know, I was going to build them a PC for Christmas or for their birthdays next year. I did say that by the time they turn 13, I'd build them both a custom rig that was as powerful as my PC. But I don't see the chip shortage going away anytime soon.
No.
And gaming laptops, you can easily get hold of one of those, and the prices aren't hyperinflated. Like just a GPU, like a dedicated GPU, even a middle of the road one, is hugely inflated in price.
Yeah, I was speaking to a friend of mine. I think he bought a 3060 board, and he spent nearly $1,000 on it.
Yeah, ridiculous price considering they're only supposed to go for what, £300-400.
Yeah, that's what I said. Why would you do that? Just why? And I mean, what are you playing that requires that much grunt?
But, well, I mean, what did he have before?
I don't know.
I mean, if
he upgrades his PC more often than I do.
If it was sub a 1060 or sub 1070, I mean, he's really getting to the point where he needs to upgrade.
Yeah. He upgrades his PC a lot more than I do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Definitely. I think he has. I haven't asked him if he has a machine, but I wouldn't be surprised. I think he has a machine. He used to get a machine like nearly every year.
Sure, sure.
So I'm sure his machine's been a lot more powerful than mine for some time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
yeah. Interesting, but you know, gaming laptops are still reasonably easy to get hold of at reasonable prices. I say reasonable prices. There's no such thing as a reasonable price on a fucking laptop, is there?
No.
But sorted them out, and I'm pretty fucking happy. Like the idea that we'll just be able to sit down in the living room, and we'll have basically like a mini little like LAN set up. I've already installed a bunch of the games they want to play on them. The world is basically theirs at this point. They can do whatever they want. These laptops should last them a good, 2, 3, 4 years. The PCs they had, or the PCs they've got now, I built them in 2017 or sounds something like right. that. They've had 2 PCs now in their little lives. I think my younger son had his first PC when he was 3. Going on 4.
Excellent.
So, they're PC through and through, I think. The fact that PC has more options for them, I don't think console really factors in. Outside of Nintendo Switch, console doesn't factor in.
Yeah.
They have access to PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. They don't touch them at all. They would rather just sit there on their PCs, and if they're up in their bedrooms, they play on Switch.
Cool. Oh well, they're very lucky boys.
Fucking spoiled little bastards.
No, they are, and it's nice to hear that they are going. It's nice that they're going the more PC route rather than the console route. Because I'm sure are they sort of like quite resilient to peer pressure, or do they sort of like pick it up a little bit?
I don't really think they care. Because most of their friends, can't play. They don't play PC. Most of their friends have like access to their dad's Xbox or something like that. A lot of their friends don't even have their own consoles. So really what platform they choose doesn't matter. Minecraft is cross-play, Rocket League is cross-play, and a bunch of other little games are cross-play. Realistically, they just play fucking games they want to play. I think the only thing really peer pressure would fucking do them on is a phone, and I wouldn't let my 2 boys have phones.
Yeah.
So I think this, peer pressure is going to become more of a thing in the future. But my two are very much like me. They're kind of antisocial bastards. They don't want to be antisocial bastards, but they're not. They're not into what a lot of the other kids are into.
No.
So peer pressure doesn't really mean a lot to them. You know, my eldest isn't interested in half of the stuff that kids his age are into. He's a lot more innocent in that respect. A lot of the kids that he's in school with, that, you know, that they're at the age now where smoking and drinking is going to start becoming a thing soon.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah, partying. Well, dude, so for most kids, so when I was younger, partying, drinking, smoking was a 13, 14-year-old thing. And my eldest is coming up to that point.
Blimey.
Yeah. I mean, back when I was in high school, I mean, teenage pregnancy was a thing, you know. So my two boys are getting to the house party age.
Kids grow up,
So you fucking feel old. So fucking old. But my two, like, whilst they want to hang out with people, they're just like, you know what, fuck it, we'll just play some fucking games on our PCs, and if people want to chat to us, they'll chat to us over like Xbox Live or fucking whatever, and if they don't, fuck it. And they say, Dad, can we play whatever? I was like, yeah, sure, why not? As long as don't mind me beating your asses. Because, well, they play with my lot.
Yeah.
They've played WoW with me and my friends. They've played fucking Valheim with me and my friends. We've all played Minecraft together. And my lot don't give a shit that they're hanging out with two fucking annoying little squeakers, because we're just as bad.
Well, they had to learn somewhere, Skaz. They had to learn somewhere.
They haven't quite got the headshot skills yet. But
well, they're right. Now here's the thing: they're getting very shortly into that peak age where their reflexes are really good.
Mm-hmm.
You need to start getting ready to exploit this and start booking them in for tournaments.
Well, they did ask me. They said, "Like, Dad, hey, what games have big esports scenes?" And I was like, "Not really any of the games that you play, and not really anything that I play." They're like, "But could we, Dad?" And I was like, "If you want to, like, you know, I'm not going to say no."
No, you've got to just, get them whilst they're, because once they get to 21, it all goes downhill. So you've got to start exploiting them now, is what I'm saying, Skaz.
25 is your retirement age. So if you haven't made it by then, give up.
Yeah, you've got to start exploiting them now. You know, you need to start perhaps ship them off to Korea, like South Korea, for a couple of years, like learn from the best, and then we can get them in, and you can make some bank off them.
Nah, South Korea is fucking too trolly, dude. Way too trolly. And my two kids are fucking, they're assholes, so they'll get banned in 30 seconds flat. And it's not like you can make new accounts in South Korea, because they tie all your accounts to your GovID. So if you act like a twat online in South Korea, you're fucking done.
Yeah.
But they're having a lot of fun. You know, and if there's ever a time they want to play a game and their friends can't. I mean, we've even said, like, if a few of the neighborhood kids haven't been able to play games they've wanted to play because, like, oh, we've got a PlayStation, I can't, like, PlayStation 4, I can't play Cyberpunk because it runs like shit. So, well, fucking just come around ours. Just fucking play it here.
You're going to be the cool house.
Yeah, well, we do. We just fucking, people just come around, we all just hang out and, you know, play video games. Why the fuck not?
Why not?
Keeps them off the streets. Keeps them getting shit faced. Keeps them getting into fights. Keeps them out of the trouble I used to get into when I was their age. So, you know, yeah. And like I said to my two boys, if they want to do anything crazy, stupid, like YouTube, Twitch, and all that, when they turn 13, they can do what the fuck ever they want, because terms of service says they can do it. However, I've told them, one, they probably ain't going to make it famous, so just do it to have fun,
mm-hmm.
right? And two, understand that now, if you get fucking banned for doing something stupid, any opportunities you have in the future are likely in the bin.
Yeah.
So don't go fucking balls deep stupid right off the bat just because you think it'll be funny.
Yeah.
Because this shit will follow you.
Yes.
And they're like, all right, Dad. And then you know that within fucking 15 minutes of me letting them loose on the internet, they're going to get banned. So,
yeah.
It's all good. I feel really old. Really, really, really fucking old.
Yeah. Yeah. That's life, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so.
I'm skint.
Sorry?
So poor.
Well, if you will keep buying your kids gaming laptops, when do you buy the supercomputer?
Oh, that comes when they turn, like, you know, 18.
Yeah.
Mate, I'm not having my children run peasant rigs. You know, they had the peasant rig when they were, like, testing the waters. Now they're in it. You know, fucking, I'm not going to buy my kids a fucking larder if I want them to do a track day. If I had the option of getting them a fucking Lambo, they'd have a Lambo.
Yeah. There's all right, kids, this year you're both getting a quantum computer. Off you go.
Yeah, why the fuck not?
Yeah.
I mean, they've already had the scrubby stuff just so I can say, like, are you into it? If you are, prove it. They've proven they're into it. So, you know, go for it. They were given the option of a new top-of-the-line console, and they said, that's peasant shit, Dad. And I'm like, I agree. So, we went one step higher.
There you go. As a PC gamer, I 100% approve of this situation.
Mm-hmm. Until they whoop your ass in any number of games.
They could probably do that right now. I'm in my 30s. My reactions are shit. I've had it now. You know, so, yeah. They could probably whip my ass when they're 5 years old. So
when they were, 5 and 3, they beat Phantasy Star Online together. My eldest son can now do 75% damage combos in Tekken quite easily. So if he hits you once, you're near enough fucking dead. My youngest son is a fucking troll. So it's great. It's fucking great. I don't stand a chance.
No, you're doomed. You're doomed.
Pretty much.
You need to start exploiting this now, Scaz. This is your opportunity as a parent to exploit your children and make money.
Nah.
Welcome into all those tournaments. Think of it. Think of it.
They wanted to go to Evo back in 2020. Stuff happened, and that just weren't a thing. But you know, they want to do that stuff.
That's good.
They're allowed to do it. Just I want them to know that it's going to be. It's not easy. It's not a cakewalk, and not everyone becomes famous like they seem to think.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, Christmas special.
Christmas special. There we go.
That was 23 minutes of why my children are spoiled bastards and will likely become, you know, the dominant force in esports.
But hey, it's Christmas. It's meant to be about spoiling children.
Yeah. That's all it's about, isn't it? Emptying your wallets, eating loads of food, getting shit-faced and watching children trounce other children at stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And I'm glad that my children are into expensive gaming laptops than what a lot of other fucking kids are into. Is my fucking god. Kids these days are stupid.
Well, this way, if they're spending their money on graphics cards and not spending it on crack cocaine.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. I'm cool with that. Dad, I can't make rent. Why? Because I just bought a new graphics card. Pfft, cool, whatever. I'll cover that. I just quit my job, Dad. Why? Because I want to become a pro Valorant player, mate. It's like, yeah, all right, whatever. Yeah, cool.
Give me a call when you need a reference back to get back your job back.
Yeah, I was going to say, mate, don't worry about it. Your room hasn't changed any since you moved out. You're welcome back anytime. And I've got a fiber internet connection now. I haven't, but fuck.
You might then by then.
A proper gigabit connection.
Gigabit.
We need it.
T1 connection.
We need all the bandwidth.
Those big transatlantic cables, was it the O12 cables that go between the countries? should have one of those like pushed through your house.
That'd be fantastic. Well, could you imagine that?
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? Those fucking huge chunk of a cable.
Have you seen the cross sections of those cables?
No.
They're absolutely insane. So look, they're absolutely, I'll send you a link because they are absolutely insane. They're just like, it's just like, because they're all, they're like sort of like mold into plastic and stuff to make them watertight.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's like a thousand cables in there all locked up. It's like, bloody hell, that must be a nightmare to splice that together.
Are they bigger than my ego?
Possibly, I guess.
Possibly. Ooh, that's a challenge.
Well, this is an undersea cable, not, let's say, the undersea cables. This is a power transmission line now sending over to you. Not a internet line.
That's clickety clickety. God blimey. That's a chonker of a cable, isn't it?
You don't always stripping that with a Stanley knife, are you?
Fucking yeah, in about 2 months' time.
Yeah.
So what are you doing that? Oh well, I'm just working on some cabling.
I'll splice this cable.
I could fucking sit on that.
That would make quite a cool, like, you know, placemat.
I mean, fuck, man, that's a frisbee. You cut that, that's a frisbee.
Yeah, but it'd probably kill if you threw that frisbee at somebody, because I imagine, you know, thin slice is going to be pretty darn heavy.
I mean, just imagine, could you imagine that? Look, the guy's like, oh, I'm trying to lift it, and then just drops it and just fucking canes through their coffee table.
Probably.
Accidentally drop it on their dog.
Drop on their dog. Dear.
their newborn child is crawling about. Whoops. That went a bit dark, Ram. God damn it.
Yeah, and as usual, it was yourself. I was talking about an interesting undersea cable, but no, somebody.
You shouldn't have shown me such a thick cable.
Well, you know how it is. You know how it is. Anyway, games I've been playing. Moving swiftly on.
Have you been playing anything fun, Ram? Because I've got to be honest, I'm a bit thin.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm too poor for games now.
Well, that's because you spent all your money on children's gaming laptops. That's why.
I know. Never. It's never enough.
Never. Now, I've been playing a game called I'm gonna butcher the pronunciation of this. Simulacra. It's called.
The hell is that?
So, it's in the vein of like the Orwell style game.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. This one, you basically play a person who has found this mobile phone on their doorstep, and you are to you open it up, and it's just got, and you find it's this woman's phone. And you basically manage to access, and it's all glitching a little bit weirdly. And you manage to get into it by sort of working out the password and get into it. And then you can sort of explore. You've got to basically find this video where she's really panicked and like clearly in trouble. And you then sort of find out that people were like through a text, but people were trying to contact her and she's not been responding. You realize she's disappeared.
All right.
So you have to try and work out what's happened to her by sort of going through her text messages, accessing sort of like her emails and stuff, and try and work out what's happened to her. So you sort of like back, work your way back, contacting people in her lists and so forth.
Then get a visit from the police. Well, because you're fucking around with someone else's phone sending messages.
That does kind of happen somewhat. If you depending on which route, like it's basically like most sort of similar games, it's got sort of multiple paths through it where like things can happen depending on what you do. So the actual sort of phone interface is clearly sort of like based on the Android style interface. You know, there's where you have the back, the home, and the it's all sort of lined up. It looks like an Android. It looks very similar to an Android style interface. And you have
the old one.
Yeah, the old one. Yeah, yeah. This game came out 2017. So it's probably current at the time, but it's the old, but it was the one before you had all the full screen where it still had sort of like the little bezel around the edge. So you're actually in the 80s, so you have, and it's got like four of like vaguely similar named apps in it, which sort of like replicates all real ones. So there's an app called Spark, which is a dating app. There's an app called Vlogger, which is a blogging app. There's a is it called Blag, which is basically Twitter. Is it Blag? Sorry. There's like a Twitter equivalent. There's like what's the dating app where you swipe left or right?
Tinder, Bumble.
It's got like a Tinder style app on it. Wow. It's got a messaging app, a photo app, a email app, and a phone app. And you basically, and like most, like a bit like I said, whereas like you sort of like had a bit of software that did all the work for you, sort of like gradually went down rabbit holes and built stuff up. This also, you start with basically nothing. You sort of like try messaging people, sort of like trying to sort of, and do you pretend to be the person whose phone it is and try and pretend to be them to try and find out what's gone on. And eventually you'll see people, the truth comes out, you're not actually the person you're trying. You were working with like a couple of her friends or one of her friends and sort of trying to work out what happened to her. And they'll go off and do things depending on what you say. They might go off and like sort of like go to her workplace, go to her house, try and find out where she's disappeared and so forth. It's really neat. I mean, it suffers from server effects. So when obviously you reply to text messages, you have like pre-built dialogue options of what to apply. And it does put in situations. There's quite a few times where I was in a situation where it's like, well, what I want to say is not an option. I'm being sort of shuffled down a specific route to talk down, which is a bit annoying. It's like, this is not what I want to say. I don't want to say this. I just want to basically ignore this, but I've got to say the bad thing and pick. I've got three bad options. I've got to pick one. It's like, well, no, in reality, I wouldn't say that. That happens a few times, which is a little bit annoying. It has got some sort of little mini games in it. So there's basically two. There is a corrupted message. Basically, the phone you're in has got some glitches on it. It's been a pop issue with the software on it as well. You find that some things go old with the phone as time goes on. And you will have like messages that are all scrambled up, and you basically have to rearrange the words to unscramble the message.
Mm-hmm.
That's fairly straightforward because you can figure out pretty quickly what the message is trying to say, so that's pretty straightforward. There's no way you like pictures, so imagine a square photo in a 3x3 grid, so 9 squares.
Mm-hmm.
You'll then have 6 options that show like which will basically have correct squares, but not all of them. So you might have one that's like an L shape, like the squares number like not 1 but 2, 3. 6 and 9 in this sort of shape. But they'll also have like some corrupted bits as well. So have like blank bits and corrupt bits. And if you overlay, so let's say you pick one which is an L shape, which is uncovers 4 tiles, 1 corrupted tile, that's fine. If you then overlay another one that's like covers all those tiles but has 1 corrupted tile that overlays a good tile, that'll then corrupt it. So you have to pick the images in a certain order to make sure you don't have any corrupted tiles and it unlocks.
Yeah.
And that takes a little bit of like figuring out and logic to do. I mean, it's not hard. It just, you have to think about what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that works. And you do that and unlock the image and then all lock in the image. And you can then sort of like, you may find more information through doing that. And you're exploring this woman called Anna. Her name's Anna. You're exploring her life and what she was doing and working out sort of what caused her disappearance. One thing I didn't realise is there's actually a timer on the game, and that's the phone's battery level.
Oh.
And the whole time you're playing, the battery's going down, which I did not notice. I didn't realise this was a thing. And if you take too long, the battery dies, and that's it, game over.
Oh.
I mean, I took about 4 hours to go through the whole thing from sort of start to finish. I think the battery the battery was pretty low, but I thought it'd been low the whole game. Unfortunately, I just thought it was just an icon that was just generic. I didn't think it was actually going down. But yeah, apparently you can take too long. I don't know how, because I mean, I wasn't exactly charging through it, and I still managed to get probably plenty of time left. But it's apart from those couple of issues, it's a really neat, fun game. Sort of like twist at the end that comes sort of at the end of what's where you find out what's happened is it isn't it's sort of hinted at. And to be honest, I sort the name gives it a little bit away. Sort of the name that the game does give it away somewhat. What happens at the end? And where it's gone, but it's some interesting stuff, and sort of, and you have to do things like you have to make up fake profiles. There's another person who you're talking to who you basically get told, oh, this is her getting a good friend, but she's quite sensitive. Don't tell her that she's disappeared. So you need to pretend to be Anna while you're talking to her just to get the information out of it. But it's neat. And you'll get most of the sort of other people you talk to, mainly through text, but they will sometimes give you like voice messages and stuff. And there'll be sort of voicemails you can listen to. The main cat, Anna herself, she's got a video blog and you can watch her videos. It's not many, it's maybe sort of like eight, or I think there's eight videos that she has. You can watch her little videos of her doing a blog. And it's really nice. It does feel like an actual phone interface. I believe you can actually get this for actual, I think it's available on Google Play Store, so you can actually have it on your actual phone, if you will, and play for it, which would be kind of cool. But what's really neat, and for how long it was part one of, and yeah, there's got multiple endings to it as well, depending on how, what sort of relationship you develop with the characters as time goes on. And depending on what you say to them and do with them will depend if they trust you or not. So hey, if you piss characters, and to get the golden ending is quite counterintuitive what you have to do, but it makes sense in context. I got a terrible ending. I got probably the shittiest of endings in the game, but it was a very neat game. I'm also going to have a look up on Steam. So there's now a second one called Simulacra 2, obviously. Let's see how much it is on Steam at the moment. I don't think it's much. It's all of $3.99. You know, absolutely fine. I mean, the second one's only $6.99, so I can't complain. That is real great fun. So yeah, I enjoyed it. It plays very similar to Orwell, but obviously a smaller scale. Always a lot longer game than this game is. Another game made me think of was what was it called? It's on my games list actually. I'll have a quick look up. Hyperspace Outlaw, which I spoke about a few months ago, where you're a similar thing where you're sort of accessing a computer operating system and you have to sort of explore like this sort of like early internet world. Obviously mobile's a bit more modern than that, but it worked very much on the same sort of line. So yeah, it's neat. I found it quite neat and fairly enjoyable. If you like that sort of thing. So yeah. But for $3.99, worth a punt, I'd say. Quite neat.
Oh, there have been other games in this style before.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's I don't want you to call what the actual name of the style is. I mean, someone said it was an adventure game. I suppose you could sort of say it's somewhat like an adventure game since it's point and click type thing, but it doesn't feel quite the right terminology. So, but yeah, it's neat. Neat. Right. So, we're now on to that time of year, Skaz.
Oh, joy.
Yeah, your favourite time of year. It's time for our Game of the Year 2021.
Now, are you gonna lay out the rules just in case people don't know? Because we play this game a little differently than.
So it's our game of the year. So games that we have played this year, or have majority played this year. So it doesn't mean the game has to have been released this year. Just that that's where we spent most of our time playing that game this year. I've gone for credit giving this for both of us. So do you want to go first, Skaz?
I'd rather not, because I don't really know.
So, all right, I'll let you think a bit longer, Ben. You've got your list.
Yeah, sure, that might be wise.
So, for me, it came down to two choices. So, Highlights of the year was, let's go through all this while I play this year. So highlights of the year, I mean, I enjoyed, we played Vermintide beginning of the year. I was glad we played. That was a nice, fun team game. That was quite, like, I loved the sort of hack and slash combat. That's quite an old game now, but I really enjoyed that. Disco Elysium, the sort of choose your own adventure style story game where you have to sort of solve a murder. And you play as a drunk detective and really in depth, you know, so many paths you can go down and open up. If you go, depending on what you say and what you do, and it's got light RPG mechanics to it and so forth. That was quite fun. Cyberpunk 2077, probably the game that I put the most out, definitely most game I put the most hours into this year and probably for a long time. And one that I invested a lot of time in and with and started to seep into my sort of everyday life. I was looking through my D&D adventure that I've been running for my group, and I realised that I'd, without subconsciously, renamed the Assassin's Guild the Silver Hand. I don't remember doing it, but I looked for my early documents. I don't call them that. I gave them a different name. But at some point, they got renamed the Silver Hand, and I don't remember doing it. So,
good old Johnny.
Yeah, good old Johnny. That's cycling. You know, High Sell, what I was interested in was a bit different. I enjoyed sort of I enjoyed budget cuts of VR game I've played, sort of stealth game. And Teardown, we spoke about a lot last podcast. That was, again, a bit different, bit in this. I was a little bit different, or, you know, sort of does something different. Not to say it has to be something that's different, but I do like something a bit unusual. So my top two choices broke down to Cyberpunk and Disco Elysium. And, oh, God, it's a tough decision. But I think I'm going to give it to Disco Elysium.
Okay, fair enough.
Simply because it is so different. It's such a well-crafted story. I was really invested in the story. And now it's been released like fully voiced as well. The characterization was good. Everything about it I just loved. I loved sort of the mechanic of like your level, your traits, your stats are based around portions of your personality. So you don't have like, you do have sort of a strength stat, but it's more based on how you think, how you do it. And so there'd be like, you have like a logic stat, you have like a perception stat that based, and that they come to the fore. But it's kind of cool in the sense that if you overinvest, like, if you have, like, the, I can't remember what it's called, there's one set, basically, that you basically allows you to pick up fine details and stuff. Mm-hmm. If you overinvest in it, though, you start picking up on everything. Like, you start getting too involved in every little detail because you've gone too far into it. So you don't want to invest super into your stats because they'll actually potentially be more counterproductive than doing so. It's a really neat and very different game. I've not played anything like it for such a long, I can't think of anything I've played before which is very along those lines. So just because of that, I'm going to give it there. But it was a very close run theme between that and Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk.
Interesting.
I love it. I haven't looked recently, but I'm sure I put over 100 hours into Cyberpunk. I love the world. Love the storyline. I think the only thing that sort of tweaked it for Disco Elysium is the fact that it was very different. Where Cyberpunk is still a first-person shooter RPG style game, but if it wasn't for Disco Elysium, Cyberpunk would have got my game of the year, but Disco Elysium just nabbed at that last little bit at the end.
Sure. So, okay,
what about you, Skaz? Have you thought something now?
Well, not really, because I'm looking down my list, and frankly a lot of them wouldn't count, because it is, we generally base our game of the years on stuff that we've played. We'd have had to have played it for the first time this year. So my list, Scott Pilgrim, that's disqualified because I played that on PlayStation 3 and talked about it early on in the podcast. Legend of Korra, that's an oldie that got pulled from Steam, but I managed to get hold of a copy of it, and it basically plays like Bayonetta or like maybe Nier, but it's based in the Avatar universe. Pretty fun game. Warhammer End Times, Vermintide. We played that back in the early days of the podcast too. So that's out. Monster Hunter Freedom on PSP. Again, a game that I played eons ago back in college, so it doesn't count. Monster Hunter Generations, played that ages ago, so that doesn't count. Iconoclasts, nifty 2D Metroidvania styly game in a world of religion and technology. Loop Hero, fabulous little kind of retro styly game where your character just literally automatically moves around a loop, and as you go around the loop you get cards. You place the cards on the map, which can make the loop more and more difficult, and just the aim of the game is to hopefully survive, to get to the boss, fight the boss, move on to the next loop. Monster Hunter Rise, I automatically disqualify just because it's coming out on PC next year. And if I like the PC version, I'll probably give the PC version my game of the year next year. Valheim, if I never have to see that game a fucking again.
Oh, I thought it was going to be your choice, Skaz.
I am never, ever, 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 ever carrying scrubs through that game ever the fuck again. My gods, that turned into my first 100 plus hour actual game on Steam, and I am so fucking disappointed. So disappointed by that. I should not have played that for half as long as I did. And it turned into an absolute stress fest. Orcs Must Die 3, it's alright. MechWarrior 5 was an absolute... Everyone who played MechWarrior 5 thought it was a disappointment. I thought it was alright. It was a fine game for the MechWarrior franchise, albeit kind of B-movie styly. It was definitely a budget game. It was not what the franchise deserved.
No.
But it was all right. Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020 was, frankly, fucking amazing.
Oh, it's a great game.
Especially when they're giving it away for free. Free subscription to Xbox Game Pass or whatever. And you get that on PC and Xbox if you want it. And the fact that they managed to get that game to run on older Xbox hardware is, fuck me, amazing. Lost Planet Extreme Conditions. Doesn't count. Talked about it on stream back in the early days. Cyberpunk 2077. A game that launched with ridiculous amounts of hate. But I bounced off it initially because most people know I hate games like Skyrim and Fallout. The newer Fallouts. And this literally was Fallout or Skyrim with a cyberpunk coat of paint. But I fell in love with the world and the characters. The story was well written. Don't get me wrong, the world was full of jank. It really was. But if you stayed focused on those missions, on the storylines, the game was fine.
Yeah.
Doom Eternal was a fucking letdown, so no. Pummel Party, no. East 9, I haven't finished it. In fact, I moved on to playing many or other game. Rather than finishing East 9. East 8, I've already done it. Zero Caliber VR, sucks balls. Forewarned, sucks balls. Neo, played it back in 2017. Something like that. Propagation VR was pretty fun. And there are a stack of other games that weren't on the list because I just didn't talk about them on the podcast. However, I have two that aren't on that list. Yeah. I don't really think they deserve Game of the Year status, to be honest. I'm sure there are other games I've played that I've been absolutely blown away by, but they've just completely slipped my mind. But first game I played through on the Xbox Series X, and have since played it through on PC as well. It will be my standalone game of the year, Remedy's Control.
I thought you'd pick Control.
where for me it was Concrete Lobbing Simulator. Absolutely fantastic, a gorgeous game, relatively fast paced, where you are a lassie looking for your brother who has been taken away by the Federal Bureau of Control. You end up becoming the director of the Federal Bureau and trying to fix all these otherworldly beings, like stopping them from leaking into reality and destroying the world. Fucking gravy. It ties into the Alan Wake universe and the Max Payne universe. I like the characters. I love the graphics. The world that it is set in is pretty nice. I love Artie the janitor. The soundtrack is pretty solid. It's a nice game. Terrible example of ray tracing, mind you, because everything is super shiny, but the game is pretty anyway without it. And I want to give a VR Game of the Year.
Okay, cool.
Award to. I have put in, so I recently got back into VR. I have put a ridiculous amount of time over the last few months, since probably July. I've put in about 28 hours into a game called Demio, which is a tabletop board game in VR. Now, Ram, you know I'm pretty picky with what I consider, you know, VR titles. If it's third person or whatever, I don't count it as a proper VR game.
No.
Demio is neat in that it takes place in a basement. So you're not actually, you're not moving the characters on the board. You are the characters, you are the players standing around the table, moving around these figures that are animated. So they can, you move them around the board, they actually swing their weapons, they actually cast their spells, they actually get hit and take damage and, you know, react to cold and things like that. Aim of the game is to basically go through the necropolis. You start on the upper floor and you have to move down to layer 3, where you then face a boss. Top level, not so much of a problem. Second level, harder. Third level, you're going to get your ass beat if you don't work with your team. You get to choose one of 4 or 5 classes. I don't remember. The warrior, the ranger, the rogue, the wizard, and I think they're adding in bard.
What? Is it bard? Do you mean class or bard, our friend?
Our friend bard, the class. it looks fucking phenomenal. And it also has a Quest. So I play it on PC VR. It's cross-play with Quest VR users too. And it looks absolutely phenomenal if you're playing it on PC VR. It's cross-play between all platforms of VR. So if you play it on Oculus, the Oculus PC store, the Steam store, the Vive store, it works on across all of them. It doesn't seem to have cross save, but that doesn't really matter because anything that you unlock is just cosmetic. It plays, funnily enough, you know how you got your D&D modules?
Mm-hmm.
The board game that you play, the scenario that you play, they actually give you like a D&D module to look at the start. And you just literally pick up these little models. Each character has like a movement stat, an attack stat, armor stats depending on the class. You know, and then you have like special skills for each class. And you just literally you move your character around. You get given cards every turn, so you can use cards as different spells and skills. And you have to roll your dice to say whether or not you hit, you do a crit, or you miss. And it's fucking stupidly fun. I haven't done a very good job of explaining it, but for a tabletop game in VR, it's brilliant. You can spend 2-3 hours per session in that game, just trying to travel down to the boss. And
it's funny to say about D&D. I could almost see it from what you described, almost being modded so you could actually play D&D like people do over like sort of Roll 20, but you know, in VR, have your mates around and you have a, you know, Dungeon Master, can, some sort of tool that allows the Dungeon Master to quickly build a map, a battle map up or something. I could see that being done sort of in VR. It's cool.
Really, really, really fun. Like, I wanted to have a go at it, not having huge expectations of it. I said to my mate Divine, hey man, do you want to have a go? And so, oh yeah, cool. So we both jumped into it, and I think the first session we played it for 3 hours, 4 hours. It just flew by. Didn't even realize, like, my headset battery ran out, for fuck's sake, before we even finished it. And we were absolutely terrible at it to start with. And people can drop in and drop out as well. So your game actually gets given a room code. And when I'm streaming it, because I always stream it when I play it, the room code is listed on the side of the table. There's like a plaque on the four corners of the table. It's engraved. So people could just see it as I'm streaming it. And if they want to, they can just jump in into the game to help out. And the game scales too, by the way. So the more people that play, the harder it gets. The more health enemies have, the more damage they deal. It's fucking fantastic. And the levels are somewhat procedurally generated from what I can tell. Like, there are tiles that it kind of sticks together. Mm-hmm. And every time you go into a level, that it's very rare that the layout is going to be the same. Like, where the exit is to the next floor of the dungeon will change every time you go in. Where the key to that door is will change every single time. What bosses and what number of bosses there are per floor will change every time you play. It's really, really neat. And they're adding in more and more expansions as time goes on. You don't have to pay for them. So a one-stop shop, you buy the game. It came with one episode to start with, one kind of module, I suppose. Then they released the second module. And I think the third one is either now coming out. So it either is out right now or is due out within the next week or so. And I am super fucking psyched to get back into it, along with them dropping in the Bard character class. I didn't want to talk about it. I've mentioned it a couple of times in the podcast, but didn't want to talk about it because I haven't really got the knack of the mechanics yet, but it is really fun, and I don't see myself getting tired of it anytime soon. As I said, just a, you know, oh hey, do you want to have a quick game of Demio, for it to then turn into like, oh hey, there's the sun is up, oh my god, now the sun is down, I lift off my headset and I'm standing in a dark room, is fucking crazy. It's probably one of the best VR games I've ever played.
It does sound pretty awesome.
It's, mate, I honestly do think you should take a crack at it at some point. And if you want, you can either play it single player, and the game will give you the option of like, it will, you pick your class and then it will pick two other characters to play with you. I think you can set it to have a full party of four, so you and three other AI players. No, not AI, sorry. Randomly chosen characters. And you have to move all four of them or three of them or however many you choose around the map. Or, as I say, you can, if you wanted to, just say, hey, Skursman, do you want to jump in and play some fucking Demio? Mate, I'll be there in a heartbeat. I'll be there in a fucking heartbeat. And I don't care what character class I play. They're all fun. They all have their unique little quirks. Fucking fantastic. Phenomenal game. Absolutely phenomenal.
Awesome. So, Control and Demio, fantastic. Good choices.
Right. I'm quite surprised you didn't give it to Cyberpunk, but then considering how psycho you went over Disco as well,
it was a very tough choice. I've been weighing up the choice about. I've been debating. I've been going back and forth probably for the last two, three weeks. Debating which one I was going to go for, and Cyberpunk was definite. If I hadn't played Disco Elysium, Cyberpunk would have got it, definite. It's simply the case. Disco, I say it was different. And it was, mm-hmm. it was, and I liked the world. It was a completely new style world. It's sort of this sort of hybrid sort of fantasy, but like they've got sort of fantasy slash sort of sci-fi world. You know, they have got like computers and stuff, but like sort of like fairly basic machinery. They've got a sort of you can almost sort of place it all like 1950s, 1960s
yeah.
type sort of era. There's lots of, and they put a lot of stuff in there that is not built up. I mean, like random things like the world, their sort of like place they live is surrounded by this thing called the Pale, which is like this weird place where physics don't really work. Mm-hmm. And they have to sort of like, they travel through it and they sort of like, come on, they basically like sort of like fling themselves through it to get to the other side. But if you go through it, basically, it's almost like being exposed to like radiation. It does harm to you by going through it. So like people are only allowed to like be exposed like 5 days a year.
Sure.
What does lots of backstory that's there that they can expand on? So for just saying the scene, that doesn't really go into a lot of detail. And it's so many little side missions and so forth. It felt like a real, like the world was there. You know, you only play a very small section of the world. It felt like there was a big world around it. And I said the mechanics of it, which is so different, so neat. And the fact that it just felt like if I wanted to do something, I could. And just because, but mainly because it was different. I've actually bought it as, they've now released it on PlayStation 4. It came out on PlayStation 4 a couple of weeks ago. I've bought it as a Christmas present for my mother and sister so they can play it.
Oh, wow.
So I want to play it. So that's currently sat on my drawer next to me, ready to be handed over to them, because they've got the full version, which is all voice acted, whereas when I started playing it, it wasn't all fully voice acted. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was a real tough choice. And that's the only main reason that it's all like pushed it slightly ahead of Cyberpunk, which is just different.
Sure.
So that was the main reason. But if I hadn't played it, then yeah, Cyberpunk would have got it hands down, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
So. Oh, fantastic. Well, I think that's a very good choice you picked there as well. I have got Control now. I need to play it. I've got it, though. So,
I mean, I've got it on a few different platforms, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I've
wanted to play it since it came, when it came out, like a couple of years ago it came out now? 2019, yeah. I think it did. I wanted to play it since then because I saw heard people talk about it. I thought, that sounds cool. I just never got around to doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I did hear it. So, well, that's fantastic. I think, unless there's anything else from you, Scott, I think that brings us to a close.
No, I think that's it.
Well, fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us on our Christmas podcast. We will see you in the new year. What date will that be? That'll be, oh, blimey, it's the 1st. Are you okay to do the 1st?
Yeah, mate, I'm always about, assuming that, you know, we actually survive.
Well, as soon as we get past the 31st and the world's still here, we'll return on the 1st of January 2022. I know. So you can come join us on that. And also we'll be doing our games night. We'll be resuming for the new year on the 4th of January. And also I hope you enjoy the episodes we're putting up over the Christmas period. So we'll keep you going. And I look forward to seeing, I hope you all have, everybody out there has a great Christmas. I look forward to seeing you in the new year.
Marvellous. Don't blow up any Christmas trees. Yet. Damn it. Well, I will be as soon as I can.
So, thank you for listening. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.